Yo, what up, what up, what up, what up, man? We are back. We are back. We got a great episode for you today. Look, man, we're going to be talking about a little of what the scores on that happened this past week and what we got coming up for rugby. Man, also, man, we got pop stars buying into the MLR, and it's getting a real one. We got a full musical legend being a part of the MLR now. Also, man, Netflix is not messing up this time. They are bringing it back. They are bringing it back, man. Let's talk about it a little bit. Full contact, baby. Full contact. And lastly, y'all, we got World Rugby coming in with another plan to try and change and improve the entertainment of rugby. Oh, we got a lot to talk about on that one, man. But before we get into that, yo, let's get into the real one. Let's hit this intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Welcome to the Rugby Swag Show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Rugby Swag Show. Of course, this is a show where we get to speak to people about the opportunities and advantages they've found through rugby. And of course, most importantly, we're keeping you up to date with what's happening in rugby around the world, domestically and all above together, simultaneously, yada, yada, yada. Y'all, we got, like I said, a great show. My name is Gift Time A. Bailu. And of course, I want to make sure that you guys are staying up so that you can let the people that you love know why they need to be a part of this wonderful, wonderful game, y'all. But before we get started, as always, I need you guys, if you are watching it on YouTube or you catch it on YouTube, please like and subscribe to this. I need the algorithms. I feel the likes. I needs the attention, baby. I needs the attention. But, y'all, that much more, and let's the algorithm do what it needs to do so that we can continue to build up and spread out and really change what this game is all about. On top of that, please, please, if you guys can, hit that notification, of course. But that's not it. Y'all, if you guys are only able to do stuff on social media, definitely hit us up on social media at Rugby Swag Show on Instagram, at Gift A. Bailu on X at GIFTEGBELU. Of course, then on everywhere else at Gift Time Rugby. That is Facebook, that is YouTube, that is TikTok, that is Twitch, and Reddit, if you may, but I'm not going to lie. Literally never on Reddit, so it's not really a point to that one. But of course, no, again, we're always here with the layers. It's not the only way that we go about this. If you guys are able to share these podcasts out, man, that means the absolute most. Hit us up on Spotify, hit us up Apple Podcasts. You can find us there. Absolutely. If you want to get unconventional with it, definitely hit up Amazon Music and iHeart Media as well. Hold on 1 second. My mic don't want to do what it's supposed to do right now. Oh, you want to be difficult for no reason. Okay, so we're going to be difficult for no reason. But either way, y'all, really, really appreciate you and everything that you guys do. Thank you for taking the time to listen, to pay attention. Man, I will say, man, we got, like I said, a great show. A lot going on, but not a whole lot. Like, luckily, this is just kind of a chill kind of the week, so I want to be able to talk about it a little bit more. We're going to go into it, but of course, we got to get back into these commercials. We got to take care of the people who take care of us. So we're going to be right back, top of the hour. Let's get into the scores. We will hang tight. We'll be right back with it. I'm going to let you get back to the show in a moment, but I want to talk to you about our sponsors, Health Enhanced Foods, the best specialty flours in the business. What does that mean for you? That is the flours that allow you to be able to get the nutritious need from your bread made. That's muffins, bread, croissants, whatever, pancakes and muffins. It will give you the opportunity to be able to get the best while still being able to eat like you wanted to. We have various amounts of products available for those who have special dietary needs to those who are looking for a special health outcome. And of course, because they're part of the Rugby Swag Show, we want to let you know that you got a chance to go to healthenhancedfoods.com and use code Rugby Swag to be able to get 20% off your first order. Y'all, this is something that you're going to need. You got to build up, have your energy at the best, be the maximum. It's 2024. Let's do the best. But now I want you guys to get into it. Let's get back to the show.
Man, let's get into it, man. We got scores up, scores up. You know what? I don't want to do this without some scores music, but let's hit some scores music while we're at it right now. So let's go look in the MLR because we got to keep it in our domestic, baby. Of course, if you're overseas or from everywhere else, like Brazil, you know, you want it, you get it. All right, number one, yo, let's take a look at these scores. We have Dallas Dapple absolutely murdering the Anthem 68-28 last week. We had Los Angeles taking out San Diego, losing to San Diego 19-18 on the road. We had Utah Warriors versus Seattle Seahawks. Utah struggling for a win 23-17. Houston SaberCats take to the Miami Sharks at home. Miami Sharks really trying to find their way. Winning 30-19. Houston SaberCats with Miami Sharks. We got DC Old Glory, Chicago Hounds, and a good old fashioned weather system. I mean, a draw going 22-22. And then lastly, of course, we have New England Free Jack over precious Nola Gold winning at home 27-21 in a close nail biter one, which I really feel like, again, I'm hyped with Nola Gold. They're a much better team than they have been the last 6 years. And one game that I'm just going to also talk on is the fact that we're seeing start to rise, as well as we do think that a two main set to be able to win the basketball set is going to look really, really tough. I don't think that there is anything that can be taken away from that one. But this is still anybody's game. We're still early in the season. So obviously it's 3 of like 20. So what are we going to do on that one? But let's look forward because I don't want to hit these up by its moment. We look forward to these games. I'm not going to hit every single one of them, but I want to hit the ones that I think is most important. Number one, Seattle Seawolves. Seattle SaberCats off the road to Seattle. That is probably going to be the game of the week. Both of them, number one and number two in the standing, both of them absolutely are getting real, real pretty whenever it comes to their play. But right now, I want to honestly say that I think that the Houston SaberCats probably are playing a lot cleaner than Seattle Seawolves. Don't get me wrong, Seattle Seawolves are dangerous. They're fast. Their defense has been ridiculous. But I think Houston SaberCats are a smoother team at least 100% for the last couple of years now, and I think they're starting to hit their peak on that one. The other game that I think is really, really important that we need to go take a look at is also going to be Nola Gold versus Dallas Dapple. Now, if we had said that last year, we would have been laughing our butts off about how that is a game that nobody really should care about because three other of these teams are doing anything. But New Orleans Gold, even though they've been having a lot of trouble when it comes to their kicking, they have been able to come back. They poorly in the first half, absolutely still in the second half. But the Dallas Dapples are not anything to play with. They have been absolutely showing their full selves this year. I think the 2 years of development is starting to come to fruition. And they're at home, which is a tough one. And it's going to be in Dallas as it's getting hotter. I mean, both these teams understand heat, but Dallas at home is starting to pick up. But I do think Nola Gold are going to take this one very, very easily. And of course, you got Old Glory, San Diego Legion. I think San Diego, Old Glory is going to be able to handle themselves. Miami Sports Anthem. This might be the worst game, but ironically, the best of the expansion teams. LA takes on the Utah Warriors at home, and I think the Warriors are going to be big ass. Miami Sharks Anthem Rugby. Honestly, I think the Sharks are going to win. They're at home. If it doesn't rain, it might actually be the first clean game that they actually played this entire season. The Anthem is just too young. They're too inexperienced. They need like 3 years to be able to really set their bases. So I'm not even worried about them like getting into position or winning things this year. They just need to be progressive. Just progressive from time to time. Then, of course, you got Chicago Hounds and England Free Jack. Which, honestly, I think it's a close game. I don't think the Jets are as good as I thought they were, but I don't think the Chicago Hounds are at the level of New England, even though they got the talent. So, you know, watch of a game. I'm probably going to still lean New England on it. I think, you know, they might have the target on their back. All right, let's look into NRL. Obviously, last week, we talked to my guy, Jason Bray, to be able to talk a little NRL. He's not going to be doing it this week. Scores from that week, we had the Broncos beating the Rabbits 28-18. We had the Sharks beating Bulldogs 25-6. Panthers beat down the Parramatta Eels 26-18. Raiders over West Tigers 32-12. Cowboys over Knights 21-20. Storm over Warriors 30-26, which is a big deal. Sea Eagles over Roosters 21-14. Dolphins over Dragons 38-0. Great home win. Great home win. I'll be honest with you, that actually is a kind of a terrible week. Only week 2 of 27, but that's a terrible week. If no road teams were able to get a win, all right. You feel that in your chest. I feel for them on this one. Again, it's shout out. I don't think there's much to say when it comes to the NRL this week. Everybody basically did what they were supposed to do. Broncos, Rabbitohs, it was Broncos are the defense running up, so they're going to pick up. But that being said, I think this week is not as much interest, but next week is going to be massive. And so looking at the game, I'm going to be talking about a couple games that I think will really be able to watch. Number one, first and foremost, Panthers versus Broncos is a repeat of last year's, which was really like July's championship game. Panthers won that championship. Close one. Broncos, like Jason said last week, game that shall not be mentioned, but it will be. This is going to be a big one, especially for the Broncos. They need to be able to get on the roll. Panthers are middle of the road as well, but again, long season, and they're all descending upwards in their own way. Look at Broncos. Probably keep this one out. I think this is not going to be the week where we get this great home wins the entire time. I think the Broncos do it, especially as the Bengals game. Panthers are going to lose this one, but I don't think it affects it. The other one that I think is really actually interesting to also look at, the Parramatta Eels versus the Sea Eagles. Mainly Sea Eagles absolutely have been, they're doing it. 2-0 so far, sitting in Vegas, sitting at home, and the Parramatta Eagles are going to be on the road, are going to be at home, Eagles on the road. I think the Sea Eagles are simply a better team for what it looks. But Parramatta Eels are defending. Once again, they were 100%. They already got they already got their win from their loss last week. So it's a good one to get the back from. And of course, they got their eye on it. Apparently, a rivalry team. I do think that the Eagles will win this one on the road. But, it's going to be anybody's game for that one. The rest of it, is Roosters, Rabbitohs. I think it's a solid game. I don't think it's that good. Warriors, Raiders could be pretty interesting. I just don't know that much about it. West Tigers versus Sharks. Bulldogs versus Titans. Bulldogs at home. And Knights versus Storm. Storm are on the road. I think it's going to be really advantageous for Storm. They should be able to team up on that. All right. Going to Super Rugby. All right. Last week, man, no one would have ever thought that if you would have said 3 years ago, man, the Crusaders would have been on a 5-game losing streak, basically. No one would believe you. The Crusaders in New Zealand have been the best team, but they lose again 10-15 to the Hurricanes at home. That's a big one. At home. Nah. All right, you got Rebels versus Reds. Rebels lose 26-53, predicted last week by Jason. Absolute walk. Reds doing exactly what they do. Of course, lose at home to the Moana Pacifica, 22-14. Shout out to the Congress, holding down the fort and not letting themselves be considered the worst team in the league right now. Brumbies defeat the Highlanders on the road, 27-21. Other New Zealand team falling to Australian team. Big shout out to Australia. That's whenever your union is altering so hard, still getting the win when it matters. Chiefs beat the Druids, protecting their house. Chiefs from New Zealand, 46-29. I really was hoping that Fiji and Drew were going to keep it closer than that. But it didn't. It's okay. Fiji and Drew are going to always be up and down. Again, I think next week is going to be a better showing for them. And then Waratahs falls to the Blues on the flip side of the Highlanders and Brumbies, falling 12-10 at home. And you can't lose at your house, but I'm also glad that it's not. Once again, a watch of road teams absolutely killing it, because it really was looking like that for a minute there. But again, good game. Again, the Blues are one of the best teams in for rugby right now. Like, they're doing what they're supposed to do. Like, again, everyone, it did basically what they're supposed to do, except for the Crusaders. You are just sucking. They're just sucking. And this next week is not going to be any better. So let's look into it real quick. Like I said, the game I want to look at, Crusaders lose the best. Absolutely murdering it. Crusaders are going to have another loss. I don't see them winning for a minimum of two more weeks, including this upcoming week. A minimum of two more weeks. They better get themselves together because your playoff hopes are quickly diminishing. Other games to look at, East Islanders, another great matchup. So I think the Chiefs are going to have the advantage on this one and be able to really show out. There's not too much I want to say on that one. The game that I have the most interest on is Team Tua versus the Waratahs. Waratahs are, again, solid team. Even though we saw that they lost last week against the Blues, it was against the Blues. The big thing with the Virginia Tua is that they are in Fiji. Man, I talked about this on Rugby Odds, on Rugby Wrap Up. But, man, the Virginia Tua are a team that needs the power of their people to be able to really accelerate. Dean and Drew are so deadly at home, and I expect them to absolutely crush this Waratahs team that's going to be traveling. Like, this is a real one. Like, oh my God, I am hyped. This is one that I am going to look forward to watch Friday morning because, you know, I have to be $12 late on this one. And then the last games are Brumbies versus Moana Pacifica, Brumbies for the Lakers, and Hurricanes versus Rebels. Rebels struggling, but the Hurricanes, I think, will actually end up getting the win. Not really much to say in that one, to my knowledge, but it's all good. All right, let's go quickly to URC. I know I'm running through these fast. There's other stories I want to get to, but I think it's really important to get to them. We got Munster over Zebre, 45-29. Edinburgh over Ospreys, 19-15. Lions over Starks, 40-10. Benetton over Glasgow. Benetton losing to Glasgow, 19-9. Bulls over Stormers, 40-22. No surprise, Bulls are the best team coming out of South Africa. Connacht versus Scarlet, 26-10. Cardiff losing to Leinster, 33-20, because Cardiff and basically all of Wales is just hot garbage right now. And Ulster over Dragon, 49-26. Again, nothing really significant. I think the Bulls are going to be one of the playoff teams. I think they're going to be one of the teams come out of this. Glasgow Warriors, you know, another Irish team doing what they're supposed to do. Connacht, another Irish team doing what they're supposed to do. Lions being the second best team in South Africa. Which, like, again, not super a whole lot to say. I don't think anybody did anything super surprising. No really big upset. Coming for this one, again, nothing really stand out to me for the games coming up. Glasgow Warriors are going to be taking on Cardiff. That's going to go to Glasgow Warriors. Ospreys over Munster. Munster's going to beat Ospreys. And Ospreys are at home. Sharks versus Ulster. Sharks are at home. South Africa tends to do well. You know, Ulster, you know, again, Wales. I don't know. Anyways, whoever comes to South Africa tends to lose when they come out from Europe. So I'm giving that to Sharks, Charlotte versus Benetton. Benetton, not bad, but it's Scarlet, Wales. Benetton will probably get the win on that one. Stormers versus Edinburgh. You're coming down to South Africa, you're gonna lose. You know, Connacht, so give that one to the Stormers. Connacht going against the Lions. Lions are going up to Ireland. Connacht is gonna wipe out the Lions. Bulls versus the Dragons. Dragons are going down to the Bulls. Bulls are traveling to the Dragons. The Bulls are the best team in South Africa. They're one of the best teams in the URC. Bulls are going to wipe out the Dragons. And Leinster versus Zebre. Leinster over Zebre because Zebre is just not that good. And Leinster is just mediocre. All right, y'all. All right. Now, we're going to get you some ads, but I want to talk about a major purchase that really happened this week. That really happened this week that I think is very, very, very significant to the development of rugby in terms of the U.S. and what they need to be able to get out of it. So we're going to be right back after this commercial break. This is Gifted Bailey with Rugby Swag. Hang tight.
Don't you love a great ketogenic family? My name is Gifte Bailu. I'm here with Health Enhanced Food.
I wanted to talk to you about one of our top baking mixes, and that is our ketogenic baking mixes. We got a ketogenic seed baking mix, our ketogenic almond baking mix, and of course, our ketogenic coconut baking mix. Now, what is so important about it being ketogenic? Now, for those who don't know, ketogenic means that it is utilizing low carbs to be able to eat from. The point of it is so that your body will naturally activate burning from your fat and be able to sustain off your proteins rather than feeding your body carbohydrates and your body simply burning that and you just don't lose weight. And so whenever you're doing that process, it's incredibly difficult. And of course, you're always going to have a craving for wanting to eat the breads and the carbs that you typically would have. With our keto baking mixes, you can have the pancakes, the waffles, the cookies, the cakes, the pizza crust that you absolutely desire without sacrificing the work, your diet, and obviously the results that you're trying to get. All our ketogenic baking mixes are gluten-free, grain-free, plant-based, and absolutely loaded with natural vitamins and minerals. We want to make sure that they are low net carb, they have no added sugar, they are protein-rich, they have good healthy fats, but even more importantly, they have a low glycemic level. So for those who are diabetic and you're also still trying to find something, we have the baking mixes that are for you. And I'm sure you're wondering, why make three versions of them if they all are basically doing the same thing? Well, we wanted to make sure, as always, that we are trying to specialize to your dietary need. So with our ketogenic coconut, we wanted to give you a version that allows you to have a sweeter bread without sacrificing your diet, but it provides you things that you can make with your cakes, you can make your cookies, but you can be able to not have to lose your mind trying to find things that can satiate the taste without ruining your diet. With our ketogenic almond baking mix, that is one that has probably the highest protein content. It allows you to be able to control your blood sugar levels, reduce your blood pressure, lower cholesterol levels, and of course, it goes to promoting weight loss and being able to control the hunger. And for a ketogenic seed, this is for those who have a nut allergy and they can't take anything like the almonds. So we want to give them still the same thing. You can still make your bread. You can still make your pizza crust. You can still make your cakes and your buns and your muffins. But you don't have to worry about having an allergic reaction. You definitely can go check out the ketogenic line of products at healthenhancedfoods.com. Go ahead, keep up with your diet, get the foods that are necessary to keep you going, and let's get the results that you absolutely deserve. Let's go! Yo, all right. We are back, man. And I'm, like I told you, I am excited for what we're about to talk about right now. And it is something that I said is going to change the game. And that is the big news that, man, Earth, Wind, and Fire has bought into Major League Rugby. Y'all, it was announced this week that Vernon White of Earth, Wind, and Fire, Virgin White, man, put some respect. The bassist for Earth, Wind, and Fire has purchased a minority stake into Old DC Old Glory, man. What a big shout out to freaking Paul Sheehy and that DC Old Glory group. Y'all, if you guys don't know, I mean, I hope you guys know. I don't know if you guys, you might be young. I don't know. But whenever you got the guys again, put seasons. The seasons that we're here, the season that we hit the ba-da-da can disappear. Oh! September. Do-do-do-fember. Ah, bruh, like, that is huge. I want this to be bigger news than what is being placed out right now, because that means that you have a direct connection, not only to a legend, but the credibility of other legends wanted to be a part of it. And it's not like Virgin is some like side guy. The man is a legit component of Earth, Wind, and freaking Fire.
So you need to be able to tap into exactly what it is that they're gonna do. Boy, I said whenever I heard that, I was so hyped. And it looks like apparently, you know, his interest for it, very interesting. He said he talked to his good buddy Paxton Baker, who involved him in sports for quite some time, because he's also, if you guys don't know, a minority owner in the Washington Nationals as well too. And Baker, his friend, owns a stake of the Washington Nationals and Old Glory too. So obviously, you know, bring his friend to where they go. No gatekeeping. He would continue to say one of the reasons why he had an affinity to be able to invest in DC Old Glory, Old Glory DC, was that he had been coming to DC. Hold on, you know what? Let me show you what it is. Let me show you what's happening over here. He said, we've been coming to DC for a year, for forever, forever DC. All right. And that man said, DC is kind of like where Earth, Wind, and Fire got launched. You know, we really broke big in DC, and it was always been like a second home to us. In the beginning of our career, we were going to move to DC because we were playing there so much. And then he was like, yo, they went on the article. This is WTOP News. It was announced on there. But the reason why he connected with rugby outside of his own friends, was the factor that he was like, yo, I thought it was sexy because it was from overseas. I thought that it was really great. It's now in a new generation. People are getting into it. I wanted to be a part of it. Yo, that is what we should be doing with every freaking owner or entertainer or anything, to just get them on board. Like, there was a buttload of people who went to go invest, who were celebrities, in stupid paddleball. Or what was it, netball, or the old people ball that was not badminton, but I don't even care to remember the name anymore. But we getting people like that, and they think it's sexy to be part of rugby. Yo, they said it's sexy. You got to get sexy, baby. You got to get sexy. And I think that's legit. It's something that has to be pushed that much more. Oh, my God. Like, that is so dope. So I'm hoping moving forward, we get to see more of Earth, Wind, and Fire, or more celebrities entering in and being publicly announced to be able to be a part of it, because I want to see more of these celebrities. That's how we grow the game, grow the casuals, because it's an influencer base. Look, they're going to bring their own influencers, and they're going to do their own thing. But the key part is they're really going to go do their own thing, man. Let's go, man. Let me know what you guys think in the comments. My boy Benji out here trying to be a hater, saying, drugs are bad. Going through Instagram, obviously, you guys can hit us in the comments through where you are. I can't actually connect it over from Instagram, unfortunately, but from everywhere else, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, absolutely hit it in the comments if you guys get a chance. But yo, man, let me know what you guys think about this, because I think this is one of the dopest things that could absolutely happen in rugby in the USA. Like, it's an absolute, absolute necessity for all things. So, all right, y'all. I want to move on to the next subject. I was going to take the commercial, but you know what? I gave you guys a super long one already. So let's get into the biggest next thing, which is, man, Six Nations Full Contact is coming back, y'all. Six Nations Full Contact is coming back, y'all. And I am absolutely here for that. I was really, really worried. I was worried that World Rugby was going to do something stupid and try and not find a way to get Netflix to do this, because it's a show that had a lot of potential. I think it had so much potential. Now, I know a lot of people saw, you guys saw my review, but I'm going to say it again. I really enjoyed Six Nations. Don't get me wrong. It's about 5 years late. It really should have been slightly, maybe a little bit more updated version. And it felt like it was a copy of something before. But you know what? I understand they had a model, and you had to get something on the table first, especially because Six Nations people were being super weird about letting people have access, and they're making it terrible, like Wales. And of course, I know they have all the issues in the world going on, and they got all the problems in the world, and their whole thing system's about to collapse. They just lost the Six Nations, even though this happened in 2023 when they barely lost the Six Nations, only losing to Italy, only slightly beating Italy in the process. But man, everybody needs to go in deep and to be able to get to know more of these players more and more. And I think this was a very big asset to being able to help make the Six Nations, especially for me, and I'm going to talk specifically for me, far more digestible to be able to watch. I actually gave a crap about it. And then to know that, like, so many of the players that were prominently featured in the Six Nations for 2023 for Full Contact Season 1 were just not there for the actual Six Nations for this year. So for next year, which this is going to be coming out in 2025, probably, again, a week before the 2025 Six Nations, they're probably going to address France and their absolute falter and loss of Antoine Dupont and how much they struggle. And we're going to even see if that coach remains. Bro, the rise of Italy, now I want to see their locker room, because it was a young locker room, a new coaching staff, a new mentality. Oh, my God. I want to know what they were doing that, like, changed up, where they were just like, oh, we about to show you guys. We not nothing to be messing with, all right? Don't F with us, man. And then, of course, man, Ireland losing to England, so their Grand Slam, even though I know they won the Six Nations and they got it, blah, blah, blah. But I want to see how they felt with the devastation of them losing to England in such a factor. And they were dominated. I don't care what that score said. They were dominated in that Six Nations. And Scotland winning the Calcutta Cup over England and then following it up by losing to Italy in that one. Like, that little connection right there. Oh, my God. Like, this is the perfect Six Nations to be able to have the follow-up. So I'm so happy Netflix is bringing it back. You're doing it again on a big platform. I do feel like, as a rugby community, we need to do a better job in lifting it up. I want all the people who were like, oh, man, this is too simple. I wanted to hear about tactics. Shut up. Ain't nobody care about tactics whenever you're a casual. We want to know stories, but I do feel like they need to do a better job in establishing history and context with the Six Nations so that there is also a lead-in to go to it, because I think there needs to be a little bit of help so people can have greater establishment of the rivalries and why these rivalries exist, but not go into individual tactics or teach people how to play rugby. Like, there's YouTube for that ish. Like, there's so much YouTube for that. You might generate them towards a YouTube channel. Maybe YouTube, Netflix has another thing for it, or, you know, you'll work with any of the hundreds of media people who have put stuff out there. Don't do it with World Rugby, though. They don't deserve anything else. Help another creator out. But to bring it through and just, like, get into it. Just let's show them a tunnel to be able to get him into the rugby and really be an asset for the world, because clearly World Rugby wants to have a plan to improve stuff. So let's see what they really do, even though, again, I'm not saying involve World Rugby. Obviously, Six Nations is their own private industry plus private investors. So that's a whole different thing. But either way, boy, I'm so hyped. I'm so hyped for this one, man. I want to know what you guys think in the comments, because what did you think of the last one? Again, there was a lot of worry because, you know, Netflix didn't put any numbers for Six Nations. We had no idea what the take was. On Twitter, I got a lot of mixed reactions, you know, in private conversations. You know, for people who were Six Nations aficionados, I think they were like, this one isn't for me because I know all the people. And then I didn't really hear that much from people who were not a part of, you know, rugby. Like, I heard from some rugby people here and there, but I really wanted to hear from people who would have been casuals, you know, or spouses of it or friends of rugby people. So I really wanted to do it. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm also at fault because my own wife didn't watch it, but I also watched it before she did, because obviously I wanted to review it for the show, and she's not that big a fan of rugby at all, but, you know, could have helped a little bit. So I think for me, I got to do better, and I do better, maybe be a little bit more. But, you know, again, if you watch with your spouse, I don't know about you, but, you know, nobody likes to wait. You know, some of us, we get like two episodes and then they're tired, and I'm like, I got to do a full binge. Eight episodes, I got to do a full binge. 8 hours, give me the full day, we set. But let me know what you guys' thoughts were. Let me know where you guys were going with it. Let me know what you guys were thinking about this, man, because I really feel like this is just important. This is one of the most important things. This is more important than the Rugby World Cup happening or the Olympics occurring or because I think these are things that introduce people into the game the correct way in 2024 and moving forward 2025 in this era of media. So yeah, let me know what you guys think with it. And, you know, we're going to get back to it a little bit more. All right. I gave you guys a miss on the ads before, and let me come back to it because I got to take care of the people that take care of us. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about what is going on with World Rugby and what they have planned and just the thoughts. Like, you know, World Rugby, man, go on, do what you do, man. Go on, do what you do. We'll be right back. This is Gifted Bailu, Rugby Swag Show. Let's go.
Hey everybody, this is just the break, transmitting out a personal little video diary to all you people out there, where I am going to document me riding most of the way between Singapore and Tokyo for the 2019 Rugby World Cup.
I needed help, and it came from Louisiana.
We in Singapore, baby!
Gift from Gift Time Rugby USA is an extroverted tour de force, but what unites us is a hunger for adventure.
Off to KL, Kuala Lumpur.
Woo! Yeah! Woo! Gift, where are we?
We're in Vietnam!
Morning, Vietnam!
Mount Fuji, baby!
Our love of Asian rugby culture.
1, 2, 3, center!
Yeah! Rugby's is starting to develop here in Cambodia for women as well.
Valkyries, the mighty, mighty Valkyries!
We're out here, we're running out of energy, we're running out of money, and we're feeling isolated. And yet at that critical moment, friends, family, sometimes complete strangers come on board. Before you know it, we're back in the game.
Tokyo, here we come!
Malaysia, Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam. Watch the full adventure at crugby.vhx.tv. That's C like S-E-E rugby.vhx.tv. All right, y'all. All right. We are back, y'all. All right, man. What's going on with World Rugby? Look, they announced this week that they were like, hey, we need a new plan. We need to make people feel interested in this game a touch bit more. And, you know, I think we came up with something to enhance our entertainment value. So, okay. You know what? Before I let my opinion, throw out my opinion, you know, let me let you take it out to Alan Gilpin to be able to speak on this a little bit so that maybe there's some context that goes along with it that might actually help shape this out a little bit. So let's take it over to them. All right, give me 1 second. Give me 1 second. All right. So Alan, let us know what this is all about.
Shape of the Game 4 has become a really important moment for our sport, and really is all about how do we make rugby better. And when we say better, we mean how do we make the game safer for those who are playing it and better for those who are watching it. And it's our chance now to bring together all of the important stakeholders in the game, whether that's match officials, players, coaches, people involved in the medical and player welfare side of the game, along with media interests and broadcasters. So a really wide range of interests, all channeled towards making the game better.
What are the major outcomes of this forum?
Major outcomes this year really have all been looked at through the lens of the fan. And how do we make sure we've got a game that fans want to watch, want to enjoy, and again, ultimately make the sport better? So a lot of that comes down to speeding the game up. So the fan lens, really important this year. Lots around the breakdown, tackle area, scrums, lineouts, the successes we've seen with using shot clocks in the past. Can they be applied in more areas of the game? Some working groups now on the tackle area, the jackler, some of the terminology we use as well around the game, making sure that's understandable, not just for diehard rugby fans around the world, but for fans who are new to the sport. So there's still lots more work to do on those outcomes, but I think we've got an agreed set of outcomes across the game that when we start to implement them and start to trial them, we really will start to see a better sport.
All right. So, all right. Not very much being said, but don't worry. They dropped the article, so I got you guys. I got you guys. So, looking into it, it looks like they have about five phases that's going to be going to this, five-part plan that's going into this. Now, I'm going to break down each one, but let's I'm going to name them off. Number one, it's the law application guidelines and reinforcing existing laws. Second phase is law amendment recommendations for global adaptation. You know what? Let me just throw this up here as well, too, because, you know, why be alone on these when you don't have to be? Third phase is the closed law trials. Fourth phase is the specialist work groups. This involves on and off field sanctions, tackle ruck breakdowns, television match officials, protocol replacements, the fan experience and tackle height. And then the fifth phase is examining impact of specific aspects of the game in new rugby labs. So, let's kind of start off with number one, because I looked through this and I was not impressed. And again, okay, I'm really trying to work hard not to be overly critical of World Rugby because of the fact that I know there's a lot of difficulty and you're trying to do a lot of, you know, quick pulling together of things into place. But like, my goodness, like, you know, you're looking at the wrong thing. Sometimes you're just looking at the wrong thing. So, all right. So let's go into it. First and foremost, law application guideline reinforcing existing laws. All right. Starting on March 19th, there will be an exception of strict applications of current laws by referees globally. This means law 15.17, which is players will be expected to use the ball more quickly when the ball has been secured at the ruck breakdown. Referees will be asked to call use it earlier, which will begin the 5-second countdown to play ball away. Law 19.10, hookers will be expected to maintain a full break foot to aid scrum stability, safety during the engagement sequence. Any adjustment must be maintained the act of the break. And law 6.29, which is the strict reinforcement of the 2022 law trial relating to water carriers entering to the field of play. All right. First and foremost, the first one, 15.17. I'm actually here for it. We're about speeding up the game and trying to get things moving. It sucks for the scrum halves, especially in the fly halves who are trying to set up calls and whatnot. But especially in 15s, obviously, I think that's really big to make this go, make decision-making a lot faster. Here for it. It's going to make it a more forwards game, in my opinion, because it's going to be the closer action and then trying to bounce it out. But that being said, I'm not actually mad with this one in terms of a viewing experience. The hookers will be expected to maintain a full break foot. I don't fully actually know what the hell that means. We're going to have to ask somebody about that. I might be coming back on it. But it seems like it's just something within the ruck and at least no lifting up. So you can't lift up your leg and try and grab it with both legs. So it's not like you have one foot and you're hooking it yourself. But literally sometimes the hookers will get lifted up and then for an easier access with their one leg to pull it in. So it seems like we're going to maintain it on the ground. And I feel like that one impacts more on the club and professional level than it does on the international level. But, you know, we'll go with it. And then the water carriers entering into it. I don't actually know what the 2022 law is, but I'm pretty sure you're going to have to, you know, the time period between when they do it is going to be different. All right. Second phase is the law amendment recommendations for global adoption. This is a package of law amendments will be considered by the World Rugby Council on May 9th, aimed to enhance game continuity. The recommended adjustments is the law 10 in relation to players being put onside when there's kicks in open play as per the current Super Rugby Pacific trial, which aims to reduce kick tennis, I'm actually here for that. F all this running back and forth and jumping it like, yo, just, I hope they, but I do wonder what adjustment will be. Number two of that is removal of the scrum option from a free kick at scrum, reducing dead time. So free kick, either you're going to go for it or you're going to kick it, which sucks for strategically because the scrum also is a controlling play. I know it slows down the game. I don't know if I'm fully here for it, but I do like the idea that the action is a little bit more enhanced as a result of that. So, I mean, it can go in either way, but for me, I'm a big fan of still being able to utilize those scrums to be able to create control. And it really does set a whole different set piece of actions rather than just pick and go from that. And obviously with the free kick, you know, yeah, you can take it into the touch line, but you know, sometimes it's not where it goes, but I'm not against it totally. And outlong the practice of the croc roll, reinforcing player welfare focus. I have no idea what the croc roll is. Hold on. Let's look this up real quick. Croc roll is, according to the sun.co.uk, the crocodile roll refers to a move in rugby union to remove an opponent standing over the ball. The player performs the move, will grab the opponent around the torso, use their body weight to roll them to the side. The name comes up. Oh, that's some BS. Nah, man, the croc roll is legit. Like, I get it. Like, okay, we want to push them over and do it. But, man, I love being able to throw a person over. But I do understand also of one, it sets the line. Number two, it's kind of like the hit placement. I think very equivalent in some ways, not exactly, to the hip tackle in football, though not as egregious, but I'm assuming this is to reduce the injuries. But I guess, you know, pulling players forward and at least destabilizing them or coming in hard on the ruck, though, I hope there's not a lessening of being able to destabilize the ruck from point to point. So I feel like that's kind of an important factor of the game that we should be legitimately concerning about. Next on that list is the third phase, closed law trials. This is union and competition owners will be encouraged to implement the package of closed law trials, which can be adopted at domestic or cross-border level and aimed at enhancing game continuity. This includes expansion of the shot clock for scrums and lineouts and reducing kicking time. The ability to mark the ball inside the 22 line from a restart, promoting an attacking position option. The ball must be played after the maul has been stopped once, not twice. Protection of the nine at the base of the scrum, ruck, and at the maul following successful trials in Major League Rugby in the U.S. and in elite and community competitions in New Zealand. And then lastly, play on for lineout, not straight, if the throw is uncontested. That one I think is the biggest deal. That one is a great, actually, addition. I am in wholesome agreement with that. Play out on the line out if there's uncontested. Because one of the most annoying things is whenever the hooker is thrown into the line out, the other team doesn't contest it, but the ref still calls an offsides on the ball being thrown in. Like, and then you have to restart it all over again. So not only are you punished for still doing the work, you got to do it again. The other team has the advantage because you're slightly more tired than you were before. And it didn't really make a difference because they weren't going to go for it anyways. This one's going to really impact on sevens. I think so. But like, I actually am really here for that one. That speeds the game up. And yo, let's get into continuity because sticking to the touch line just gets old. And the lineouts just, they're not great. They're not great. The one that's really interesting to me is the ball must be played after the maul has been stopped once, not twice, which means that impacts the roll, the second phase of it. Drag, 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 roll, go. So you're going to have to make sure that you're maintaining and holding. That, I think, is a big deal. But I also think it's actually good for the game. I do think getting the ball out quickly from that. I love a good moving ruck in essence, but you know, you want the ball to move, get it out to the backs. Also saves a lot of energy from the forwards as well, too, so they can be able to spread out and get back into position. But at the goal line, I think it's going to be a big difference. That one could be very impactful. But I think, again, much more at the professional and subsequently at the club level than at the international level. The expansion of the shot clock for scrums and lineouts. I mean, again, I get it because you're setting plays, you know, getting people into position. I get it more for the lineout than I do for the scrum, just because, again, it's on the scrum half and scrum halves already have to get the ball in fairly quickly. So I don't know if that really is going to make a big deal, but reducing kicking time, I think is actually a good idea, especially on the which I think this is more forward, probably pointed at the conversion. So sitting for 30 seconds, 15 seconds on conversion does just eat play, and it's just it's dismantling to it, and it's just like, let's go. I feel bad for the players because, you know, there's a process of the walk, the breathing, everything like that. But, you know, I get it for what they want from that one. In terms of protection of the nine at the base of the scrum and the ruck, cool. Ability to mark the ball inside the 22 from a restart, promoting an attacking option. Again, cool. You know, advantageous. I don't know if that's going to be super heavy on a big deal, but I think it's, again, speeds up the game. Let's just get this thing started, especially. Like, just go. Fourth phase is specialist work groups, all right? Specialist working groups will be established to further explore aspects identified by the shape of the game form for further consideration. All right, now, this implies on and off-field sanctions, comprehensive review of sports disciplinary sanctions, sanctioning process with the objective of streamlining, increasing simplicity of the simplicity, consistency, and fan understanding. A key consideration will be the potential to combine stronger off-field sanctions for a foul play with a global red card trial, where a carded player is removed for a duration of the match, but may be replaced by another player after 20 minutes. I think that's not a bad idea. I do believe like the red card needs to be a powerful indicator, and losing a player for the next upcoming match, I think is a heavy, heavy fine, but I think it's good for a red card. But to punish the team in totality, especially if you get like a red card in the like first 5-10 minutes of the game, like, yo, that's kind of like some BS that they have to be at 14 for the entire game. Like, I get it's a team sport, but it's also an individual punishment. Like, the yellow card, even though it's because it's shortened, I get the 14. The punishment is that, but a red card and out for the entire, that's nonsense. So I do like the 20-minute reduction that goes to it, as opposed to the duration of the time that player is off the field. But I also think it means that you have to make the red cards truly an egregious punishment and not incidental, which I think comes now into tackle ruck breakdown, which is a major review of safety and spectacle issues as they relate to the breakdown, such as the impacting of the of contesting the ball on the floor, jackal as opposed to an upright driving game. Again, you know, especially because there's so much player welfare that's being involved with rugby in this moment, like, I really do feel like this needs to be taken really strongly a look at. And if I'm understanding it correctly, obviously I think it comes down to incidental attacks, like what's going to happen. Again, the head concussions, I think those need to be looked at strongly. I get, again, you're trying to prevent lawsuits for the future, but if you got an incidental attack that clearly was more of a bounce off than it was a hit, it shouldn't be such a heavy hit to the team, and you get a red card, and then your team's out indefinitely because your player's out indefinitely because of something that they wasn't intentional. They tried to do the tackle and just happens, because it's still a bang bang game, you know. So we'll see that one, and the jackal as opposed to an upright driving game. You know, we'll see into that one. I'm again not totally sure what that is, but I don't care to look it up. Television match officials, TMO protocol. So that means determine the optimal remit of the TMO protocol while setting new minimum standards for the technology provider. Honestly, if you take away TMO, I won't be mad at it. Just take it away. I think there's a time and place that has gone to it, but again, put the replay on the refs. Obviously, that's not what they're talking about. They're just trying to talk about setting a different standard for what the TMO is supposed to do. But I think they just it's too much, too far. You put too much pressure on people that are not in the game. You put too much on tiny incidental movements that are baked up by pixelation of each element, and you start to like over officiate the game, and it's too much. But I don't want them to go swing to the other side where there's like nothing, but have just like a normal replay system. Just have a normal replay system. Yo, you see it up on the replay, play it in real time, play slightly in 0.25 time to be able to see if there's any incidents. Play it before and after each try, and then subsequently go from there. Like, it really shouldn't be such a heavy component of the game, man. It's just so much. It's unnecessary, bro. Replacements. Examine the latest in research on impact of fatigue, the number of and timing of replacements in the elite game to determine options that might create more space on the field while improving injury rates. Again, you know, this one is toss up. I feel like this is going to be the clash between the purists versus the new generation. Because the purists are always going to say, yo, you're toughest because you have to play to 80 minutes. You only get 6 subs. And as a result of that, you really need to make the most of your time on the pitch with that 7 subs. I'm sorry. You only get 7 subs and you need to make the time of the pitch, or you need to make sure your conditioning is up. I think on the new gen side, you got more athletes. You got stronger, bigger, faster. And obviously now the impact has a bigger ripple effect on the players. So increasing either the number of substitutions that you can have, or maybe even when those substitutions can have, I think is a big deal. I don't think it should change the game too significantly, and if anything, can maybe improve it. But I wouldn't want them to get to a point where it's almost borderline rolling subs in that situation. I think it's still there's still the value of rugby enforcing the conditioning to happen the way that it needs to happen with taking things into place. And then the fan experience, which I think is should have been a phase in and of itself. But obviously, they just can put it as a partial, which is building rugby's attention via a fan-focused view of how the game is marketed, a consistent approach to presentation of the sport across all media environments, and a focus on the moments in the game that really engage the fans. This will include a thorough review of language terminology that is used within the game. Now, this one is I think, a very dangerous one to go with. Now, I get the idea of wanting to have a consistency of terminology across the game. That one I do like, but we also have to play into the fact that we have very different cultural elements to it. So whether there's reason, like in the US, I mean, you know, we take it in and of course we accept it, but I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't want to ever call a stiff arm a fend off. Like, I hate the term, you know, but I also understand, like, for me, you know, extra point feels so much more natural than just a conversion, you know, but I get it. I do get it. I will say whatever I want, especially from a media standpoint, but I'm sure they're probably talking about with their greater partners, since they don't pay me anything. So, like, they're talking about their bigger partners for the Rugby World Cup, or probably the broadcasters when it comes to the professional games. But I, you know, that one I think helps, like, very minutely. I think the bigger one is a consistent approach to presentation of the sport across all media environments and focus on moments in the game that really engage the fans. That one, I like, they are not good at this part. All right. Like, they're obviously talking about taking clips and doing clips, which is specifically great for TikTok, which I see them testing and seeing their increase in engagement. They're talking about for Twitter, obviously their social media accounts, and being able to take those clips and making the most off of them, because those are the things that attract the games. Those are the things that other media outlets provide. But I think the bigger deal, which is what they should be, I hope that's what they're talking about, is how they allow the dissemination of that information. Because what we saw from the Rugby World Cup, really from the Rugby World Cup, was like World Rugby, like, kiboshing the ability to really truly share their clips that are online. Like, I get that they got their partners, but if your partners are TV partners, let them be for TV. Let them take their packages and they can do what they want for the TV. But when it comes online, yo, that is a different game. That is a different element, and you need to be able to allow your distributions to be able to send. Obviously, watermark the ish. Watermark it. Do what you got to do, but don't prevent or what's the word? Tag. What do they call it? Negatively tag, prosecute the other distributors for your clips that you have online. These are not the one that you put online should not be the ones that you're holding for restriction. That's your marketing. That's the one that you want the furthest amount of engagement to go to. So I'm hoping that that is where they're talking about in increasing the fan engagement and the media and how it presents. And then, of course, just, you know, obviously the conversation on the game, which, again, they're not talking about. But I know a lot is probably going to go through Rugby Pass and, of course, their broadcast partners. And then lastly, within that element, you have tackle height, which I think is always big deal, is a deal. But I think we're starting to learn, you know, obviously you can't go up here. I think below the chest is a little bit iffy, but getting it right at the chest and then below, I think is fine. You know, and it shouldn't be overly punished if people get up here. But obviously, if you get into the neck and the head, you know, hyper punished around the shoulders, obviously punishment, not with a red, but definitely with a yellow. It makes sense. I get that. And they're, you know, especially for the elite side. You know, whatever, whatever, whatever. And then lastly, they talk about examine the impact of specific aspects of the game in the new rugby law, which, again, it means for them, says new rugby labs, which enables World Rugby to test out new aspects of law in a controlled environment evaluated by data and player feedback will be utilized to examine the impact of aspects of the game that either have impact on speed or safety. These are likely to include scrum engagement sequences and tackle ruck area, which goes back to what we talked about over in bloody phase two when they're talking about onside, or is it phase one? I was talking about for phase one, players will be expected to use the ball. No. Where the heck is it? Oh, it goes back to phase four on and off field sanctions. So, like, that one I think is important. Again, you're on the field. It's a bang-bang game. Like, players should not be punished for unintentional and a lot of incidental actions. Like, there's plenty of intentional and there's plenty of egregiously incidental issues. But if it's passively incidental, obviously, call it what it is, and that's where I go to the pixelation. So if you're providing a counsel or working with the union to be able to provide some kind of commentary and feedback that they will actually listen to and impact the rest of the rules, I'm here for it. And I want to see them do what they need to do with that. So let me know what your guys' thoughts are on this, man. Like, you know, again, World Rugby is in this process where they need to make money. They need to get ready for the Rugby World Cup. They got, obviously, the Olympics that they're going to promote on, even though they don't own the Olympics, but they got to promote off of that because that's where one of the biggest audiences that they can have is going to be there. But, you know, what are they going to do? Like, what's your thoughts on it? Do you feel like these are good? Do you feel like these make sense? Do you have any pushback? Even if I don't understand some of the stuff, let me know. I appreciate you guys for it, man. All right. We got one last ad, then we're going to go and take a look at what we didn't do last week, which are the comments. I've been meaning to get to them. But, y'all, this has been a great one. This is Gifte Bailu, Rugby Swag. We're going to be right back.
My name is Gift Tommy Bailu with Health Enhanced Food. I want to talk to you a little bit about one of my favorite products, Buckwheat Baking Mix. Why is Buckwheat Baking Mix important to you? The one thing that you want to be able to do whenever you're eating your food is to not have to worry about whether it's going to be healthy or whether it's going to be good for your body. When it comes with buckwheat, this is one of those few seeds that have a plethora of layers when it comes to what your health is. And within the buckwheat baking mix, it is great for those who want to be able to use it for pancakes, waffles, being able to make your bread, making homemade pasta, like absolutely spectacular for that. Now, it's not limited to those, but those are some of the best ways that we have found our customers being able to take care of it. On top of that, why is it so important? It gives you the protein energy that you absolutely need. And if you're an active person, I'm a very active person. I play rugby, you know, I like to work out. This one feeds back the muscles, feeds back your body exactly what you need, and in a great way to be able to start off your day. It's rich in fiber. It is absolutely nutrient dense. And of course, it has the level of protein that you really are wanting to need whenever you want to make sure that your body is feeding well. This is absolutely the breakfast food for anybody who is really trying to make sure that their kids or themselves really kick off correctly. And it's absolutely easy to make. All you need to do is put a little bit of baking flour to give it rise, and it has everything else that you need for it. 20 minutes and you'll be done and filled up and ready to go on with the rest of your day. You guys can absolutely go buy this on healthenhancedfoods.com and be able to go ahead and check out that buckwheat baking mix. Enjoy your food. Enjoy your breakfast. Let's go.
All right. Welcome back. Not going to go too much into the Africa games. The rugby started off this week on Tuesday, and we have a tough couple of games as a Nigerian. You know, the Nigerian women, we had Steve Lewis last week, and Nigerian women, tough go so far. You know, they've gone 0-2, lost to Ghana, and then subsequently lost to Madagascar. The loss to Ghana hurts me far and above more. Like, Ghana, come on, man. It's like U.S. losing to Canada. Like, you don't lose to little brother, all right? You don't lose to little brother, all right? But, again, it's been going great. I think it's been spectacular play. Uganda has been legit this entire time, absolutely legit. But and they are definitely the ones that are the favorites to win this one. I think they're the favorites to win it all for both the men and the women. Absolutely killing it. So, man, I definitely suggest go checking it out. Tomorrow is the last day of the games, and then is the medal ceremony. So hopefully day three ends up being a little bit better for my Nigerian women. Let's go. But we'll talk about this more for next week than it is for this week and go from there. But this week, we're going to go into the comments. You know, I love to be talking about the people that are in the comments. Because they provide such interaction that I absolutely need. And it makes it very much easier to be able to enjoy the little things out of all this. So let's go take a look into the comments. And it's going to go from a couple weeks because I missed them. So I want to talk about this all in totality. All right. First one comes from my guy, Rit. The Rugger, one of our regulars, talking about Pacific competition that brings more exposure to USA, talking about the Pacific Nations Cup and the Pacific Four Series being used by World Rugby as a method of bringing more attention to the sport in the U.S. Rit the Rugger said, more games is always better, but where is the question that needs to be asked? What happened to the representative sides in the U.S.? I haven't seen anything about inter-union territory matches in decades. Producing select side competitions through the country would inform viewers that there is more than just one team on this continent that can watch and that its presence is more pervasive across the country. Otherwise, you're trying to sell gasoline to people that don't even know cars even exist, much less that they could even buy one. I think this is a great kind of concept. I do know there's at least some representative sides. I know Potomac has a representative side. Obviously, the South Panthers in the Southeast have a representative side. But I think even within that concept, like the representative sides are still fairly, they're not like viewed heavily. I do think it's still always good, but again, it goes back to the select siding, selections, people getting to those performances, getting to the training camps or the tryouts, and the unions actually putting the money, bringing out the money, and then obviously where it goes at the end. But again, from the USA Rugby South Panthers, I do think that it has provided a lot of opportunities for guys from the club level to the great developmental side for both the U19, the women's U19, and the women's club side as well. So, but especially whenever they play in like RAN or anything like that. So, yeah, I think there is. But again, you have to be able to bring a coverage to it so that people know where to go for that. And that begins a whole other level of, you know, cluster to deal with. My boy Joe Ritchie, he talked about looking back at round one of MLR weekend. He asked, who is broadcasting MLR matches in the States or anywhere? I've gotten an occasional game carried on the FUBU streaming service, but don't recall what network had the match. And FUBU has gotten more expensive, so I may drop it anyways. I'm overseas, as you know, and I got almost all of my live rugby on Stan, the Australian streaming service. Stan does all Six Nations Rugby Championship, Super Rugby, and a good bit of English Premiership. It recently added HSBC Sevens, plus all four tennis Grand Slams. So it's good value, but it doesn't have URC, which I would like, and no interest in MLR. So to catch any of those, I'd apparently need to track down pirate YouTube feeds. So, Joe, I'm going to actually tell you, every game is on the Rugby Network. They're all on the Rugby Network, especially overseas, because we don't have a restriction, broadcaster restriction like they do domestically. So all the live games are available there, and you don't have to pay for FUBU. In fact, you should have never been paying for any games because all the Rugby Channel, Rugby Network games are free. Only ones that you have to pay for are the ones that are the Premiership games, and that goes under Rugby Plus, Rugby Network Plus. This isn't a promo, obviously. This is informing for anybody who doesn't know this. So just let my guy know. You know, I don't want you guys spending money that you don't freaking need to spend. I'm going to go with, again, Joe also talked about the Pacific competition, same as Rick Rugger. And he went, the U.S. and Canada have been in and out of the PNC in different years. But this year, this more intentional approach has some merit. Playing on the North American West Coast could work if they play late afternoons, early evenings to catch primetime on the East Coast. Your point about poor marketing is spot on, though. And absolutely, I do think that, yeah, those West Coast games need to be early, to be honest with you. From West Coast to East Coast standard, it's actually far more difficult. Like, I think the rugby RCLA had a difficulty with that because they had a late competition at like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night for their first game, which meant all the games on the East Coast were 11 p.m., midnight, 1 a.m., something like that, which is terrible time for where a large portion of your countryside is. And on the other hand, I know from a Thailand perspective, it sucks because it adds like another, almost 14 hours to it. So it's really difficult to do that. But I think the West Coast is a good place just out of obviously connection. But I do think the timing should be early afternoon to mid-afternoon so that the games kind of get caught by the early evening on the West Coast and by the time it gets its wraparound. But yeah, they need to be able to market it. Like there's no exposure if you're not going to explain anything to the people about it. Like as Rick the Rugger said, it's almost like putting gasoline and not telling people. It's almost like giving people gasoline without telling people that they have cars, what cars are. Like you're not doing any due diligence. My guy Jason Bray on the review from the Las Vegas one, talking about the Broncos loss, the whole thing was an abject failure. Obviously his ridiculous psychopathic unobjective view on the Broncos has diminished his view on things, but it's okay. Obviously, we bring him on, and we still love him nonetheless. How did the attendance compare to last year's MLR final? And if it's higher, how can the MLR copy the same strategy that the league did to boost attendance? It was significantly higher than the MLR's finals. I think it was almost somewhere around 10 times higher than it was for the MLR. Though I'm going to say this, and I think there comes a point where the international sides have a bigger fan base, especially overseas. So they travel really well, especially the Aussies. They travel a lot. So going to Vegas, which is also an easy destination spot, not that Chicago wasn't, but it was an easy destination spot. As the strategy on top of that, you know, they have more money in profit than the MLR does. While I would make the argument that the MLR has more wealthier owners, but NLR actually had money to be able to spend. They did 700 and something million in revenue with 56 million in profit. So they were able to put the money through their Fox Sports partnerships into the NFL, into billboards, into putting on the spiral and putting them in places. But the real major part was first time, which plays. It's almost similar to when the All Blacks came to play the U.S. in 2014 and then again in 2016. Just international appeal just has a higher chance. I think the MLR just has to keep grinding and grinding and doing things that expose the game and create the drama so that by the time you get to the finals, people are ramped up and amped up to be able to go there. And then, you know, it becomes a party. Like, obviously, they tried. They had Shaq and everything, but, you know, it's part of it. USA Rugby League Union fan talking about Las Vegas. He was like, they were like, I left at 3:30 a.m. from L.A. This was L.A. 7s. Get to Vegas at 9 a.m. Did a little commentary for Vegas 9s, which also was dope because one of our friends of the show, Roots Rugby, co-founder Kyle Granby, played for USA against Canada for that Vegas 9s competition. Did some interviewing as well. Went to Fremont State for Fan Fest. Thousands of rugby league fans, loads of Super League as well, which because Aussies and New Zealanders, but mainly Aussies, you know, still in it. Brumbies, Waratahs, Reds. On Friday, finished Vegas Nines, went to USA versus Canada National. That's the one that Kyle played in. I'm sorry. Saturday was the game. Whole weekend was phenomenal. I'll never miss this in my life. We got 5 years of this. So, you know, hopefully it goes well for NRL. They build up. But again, this is the churning. But you got to be able to evolve as anything else goes with it. I'm going to skip over a couple of these. A lot of great compliments. Talking about the timing, the ratings for by Fabia Cooney 9378 talked about the ratings and they were a smash and a best TV record, which were about 800,000 in Australia for that game, even though it was particularly very low at 78,000, I think, at its max in the U.S. But again, slow and steady improvements over time. Major Owl. Said kudos to having an open mind regarding Union and League. They are both great games and they all have their own context. I agree. Again, part of the process, learn bit by bit, disseminate biases, try not to oppress them down, and let's see it grow even, you know, as it goes along. USA Rugby League Fan Union, great, good job, Gift, great episode. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Let's get a little bit more recent in recent days. You know what? I like nice comments, so I'm going to say nice comments, and I appreciate whenever nice comments come in. They always do, but, you know, again, always appreciate it. USA Rugby League Union fan, I got to get the combination, said, I love you, Gift. I really appreciate all the MLR love. It seems like there's not enough MLR comment. I splurged and got VIP field side seats for Rugby Football Club LA. Sat on the field for the last game versus Houston. This was obviously 2 weeks ago. These seats are a steal. You're so close. Take a train down to San Diego, watching my boys in the first away game. We're going to get blasted yet. I'm so excited to see them play. The MLR season is about parity. It's been good. You know, early in the season, still anybody's game. But I think Houston, like I said earlier, Houston and Seattle, I think are the dark horses to take the West. LA is still growing, even though they got talent. And, of course, on the East side, New England and probably New England and D.C. might be in the top spot. It's hard to say. Everybody else is very, very mid-tier, other than obviously the Anthem, which are at the bottom. I'd made Joe Ritchie responding on my review of what I thought the England versus France Six Nations game was, where France beat England. But he was like, you think England will beat France in Lyon? I'd be surprised. If anything, a very big French win. We were both wrong, Joe Ritchie, my boy Joe. France did not win big, and England did lose, though it was very close and honestly should have been anyone's game on that one. Going to scoot up a little bit. My guy Jason. Oh, why does that Australian guy like the Denver Broncos so much? Obviously, he's talking about the Broncos for the freaking NRL. but definitely appreciate it. USA Rugby League Union fan, thanks for the shout out. Always, always, I appreciate you always. Jason Bray with, again, talking about his segment, which was great. Still getting therapy for the NRL finals, which this week he's getting to get a chance to see the replay of that one for this season. Hopefully it goes horribly for him, and I want him to suffer and bring him on next week for it. lastly, kind words, Abel Rosa 2736. Great episode talking about our interview with John Fitzpatrick of Rugby Morning. Great episode, great interview, great guy to talk to. Definitely check him out, episode 118. I definitely recommend it to everybody to be able to go take a look at that, because I truly enjoyed it. But I think that is where we are going to call it. Y'all, like I always say, I want to thank you for taking the time to be listening and pay attention to the show. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk with you and talk with you about rugby, the engagement, the commentary, the love. You guys have been great. I hope you guys definitely go check out some of our other episodes. Obviously, like I talked about right before, John Fitzpatrick of the Rugby Morning, we just had him on Monday. Prior to that, we had the freelance professional rugby player, Corey freaking Jones. Prior to that, we had obviously our great individual episodes, but we had we have so many people. We had Damonte Noble, who's now playing in Australia. We had the legendary Roslyn Chow of Brown University. We've had Eddie Evans of Bangkok Tennis Tournament. Obviously, we just such a list to be able to go down with our great guests, including some of our Wendy Young, including some of our guest commentators that you can find on individual episodes on the Gift Time Rugby YouTube page, where we're informing us. Man, it is so awesome to be able to have the access, to be able to talk, be able to bring so much knowledge into the game. And I, like I said, I appreciate you all. Definitely please hit us up for next week. I'll obviously contact and continue to comment and engage, and I appreciate you fully. So in the meantime, though, I hope you know that you are happy. I hope that you know that I hope that you are healthy, and I hope that you know that I truly believe, I believe, and that you should believe that you are truly blessed and highly favored, regardless of what the situation is. You got this. Let's do it. I hope you have a great night. Cheers.